Now, I'm gonna get it. I mean, there's Feature Friday's coming, and I'm gonna talk about China's missiles tomorrow, Feature Friday. And so I don't want you to, Judge, you're talking about the same thing all week long. I'll talk about other stuff, but we need contrast. Again, I think treason's a big deal. The situation in Hong Kong is not going to stay on the same course it's been on. Something has to change. You can only bring a pot to boil for so long. I mean, it's a pot of water doesn't boil forever. The water boils out of it and it dries, or someone comes over and turns it off because it's done cooking, or your egg timer thing gets all the way colored to the center, and then so you know it's time to pull the eggs out, or the food goes bad, or it boils over if you're cooking spaghetti. You know, something happens. You can't bring a pot to boil forever. And you can now watch. That's going to become a quote. Maybe I should put that on Pink Right. You can't bring a pot to boil forever. In fact, that's actually kind of a calculation. Like, if you're ever wondering what the U.S. military is going to do, yep, you consider that. She got, Iraq, we sent a bunch of warships over there to start to intimidate people. No, it wasn't to intimidate people. It was to prepare for invasion back in 2003 with the W Iraq War. So with all that strategery, you get, I mean, that was a logistics question. My dad explained to me what was going on and how he knew that we were going to invade Iraq and when. He said, see, small countries think about tactics. Large countries think about logistics. We've got all these people over there. Public sentiment is up and it's not going to get any higher. And every day we're spending money keeping these soldiers over there in Iraq. At some point, the cost ratio and then the alignment of optimal spending for investment and preparation and soldiers there, and then the American people support, all that's going to converge, and it's like, well, now it's time to invade. We got to do the next thing. Okay, so what's happening in Hong Kong? We're reaching a point of change, and the typical narrative has been that China's going to have retribution. China's going to get mad and they're going to go in and punish the protesters. That's the typical news narrative. That's the opinion narrative. That's the pundit narrative. That's what people, this event, Retribution Day is coming. That's what the Chi-coms are saying in their propaganda machine. When I say Chi-com, I mean the propaganda peddlers from the brainwashed propaganda peddlers from China. That's what the Chi-coms are arguing. Retribution Day is coming. You're going to get yours. You're going to take responsibility for your actions. It's interesting. I don't know if you know about this. When Paul Revere decided with his buddies that the British were going to go do a retribution march the next day, I were talking April 1775. Stable boys and errand boys and different people from around. Was that? That was Boston, yeah. All around the area, different people were coming to him saying that they heard the British soldiers. We're talking long ago. Listen, William, I love you. Okay, I'm not okay trying to insult the British today. But you had the British soldiers. Well, we're talking another king. They were talking about how they were going to, tomorrow they're going to get it. Payday's coming tomorrow. We're gonna, oh, they're gonna get it tomorrow. When they see what's coming tomorrow, oh, they're gonna get it tomorrow. Oh boy, they just wait till tomorrow. Oh, they're gonna get the, oh, they're gonna pay tomorrow. That's what the British soldiers were all saying. And it's interesting that that's what the Chi-Com soldiers in the garrison at Kowloon are saying to the protesters outside. The protesters have been kind of like a walk-by thing. I don't want to say hit and run, But they've been saying be like water. It's a very Chinese culture way of thinking and explaining it. Be like water. Oh yeah, water just goes around stuff. And in their culture, there's some references to some other ideas, and they all just know what that means, even though they don't teach that in school or culture. It's like, be like water. Be like, oh, okay, I know what you mean. And then they all just do it. They're very good at cooperating. And there is not a central brain organizing these protests. That was something that they learned the hard way from Joshua Wong from the Umbrella Movement. There were protest leaders of the Sunflower Movement in Taipei. I don't think that Taiwanese would make that mistake again, but I don't think we'll be looking at protests in Taiwan again either, because Taiwan's government is of the people. See, and that's going to be a big argument for sympathy from the West. So you've got these Hong Kongers that have been doing this hit and run, this, you know, mob here, swarm there, go over here. Oops, now you see me there. Go around. They've been doing this walk by protesting, not drive by, but walk by protesting thing. And they can't do that forever. That's my point here. The protesters can't do that forever. We've got, it's not as if they're just going to keep doing protests on the street, keep tearing down Chi-Com propaganda signs, keep, burning down Chinese sympathetic businesses, vans. Did you hear about this? There was a Vans has their competition. Someone did an entry with Hong Kong protests, was getting a lot of votes, and Vans dismissed it. And so now Hong Kongers are throwing away their Vans shoes. I'll tell you what, I'm done with Vans. Nike had their thing where you start censoring political stuff. I don't care what you stand for. I care what you censor. When your brand starts censoring political ideas, I'm done with you. I'm done. Now, what they should have done, Vans should have also allowed a Chi-Com entry. Let it get voted on. It was popular. Vans is in business, right? Why would they throw out a popular shoe? Do they think that customers are forced to keep buying from them? Hello? Can you say controlled by China? Where does Vans have their shoes made? I'm curious about that. So, but see, this type of stuff's been going on in Hong Kong. Protesters would come here, they go there, they protest, and they have their show, and they do their display, and they come out, and then they clash with the police, and then they burn down some buildings, and they throw up some barricades, and then, darn it, the police are getting tired, and it's catch me if you can't catch me. That's what's been going on. Now, that's not going to continue. The protesters are going to have to get more organized, or they're going to have to level up. That's really the word. That's really the word. I've been long in days past. The protesters are going to have to level up, or China is going to come in and get them. That's really the punchline of this thing. So the typical narrative has been China's going to come in and give it to them. That's what the Chi-Com propaganda machine is saying. That's what all the pundits and reporters from America are saying, and the West, for that matter, but Britain. Britain is there, and you have your reporters in the field from the BBC telling what will happen, and it looks certainly like there will be some sort of retribution from Beijing, because this cannot be tolerated forever in the eyes of the Chinese communists. You're getting those reports. It's coming. It's coming, just like the British soldiers in Paul Revere's day that led Paul Revere to believe that the British will be coming, so I'm going to go tell everybody, the British are coming. So it's the same talk is going on. All right, I'm offering you this other idea. The Hong Kong protesters are going to have to level up, or the Chinese are coming. See you tomorrow.